This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Catholic schools exist for the good of the children. That's one passage from Cardinal Sean O'Malley's most recent blog post. Then he goes on to write, "But we maintain our responsibility to teach the truths of the Church. And those truths include teaching all that homosexuality is a sin, even to Catholic school children whose parents may be gay." It's a tension that did not hold a week ago in Hingham. Reverend James Rafferty, the pastor of St. Paul Parish, revoked the admission of an 8-year-old boy because the child's parents are lesbian. Rafferty says he based this decision on his pastoral concern for the child. Now, in his blog, O'Malley refused to admonish Rafferty, causing an outcry today from the Catholic laity. But because the Archdiocese says it does not practice a policy of exclusion, the superintendent for Catholic schools has offered to find the child another school. Cardinal O'Malley's nuanced and provocative blog post lays bare the fundamental question. Can Boston Catholic schools balance moral theology, as the Cardinal writes, and inclusion for the good of all children? So what exactly is the Archdiocese policy on the children of gay parents in Catholic schools anyway? Send us your thought at WBUR.org/Boston, or you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And joining us now to discuss this a little further is Father Brian Hare. He's Cabinet Secretary for Health and Human Services at the Archdiocese of Boston. Father Hare, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
It's a true pleasure to speak with you today because there are a lot of really basic and important questions, I feel, that people may be wondering about Cardinal O'Malley's stance in his blog post from yesterday. So let me just kind of get at the first one, that pull between the teaching and practice when it comes to Catholic life in Boston today. And here's a case where Cardinal O'Malley wrote that Catholic schools should not be exclusionary, but at the same time he refused to admonish Father Rafferty because in both cases he sees that actions were taken for the good of the child. So how can this be? Help us understand that.
Well, I think the point is that the basic principle that runs through Dr. Mary Grasso O'Neill's statement last week, Superintendent of Schools in the Archdiocese, the Cardinal's statement, and also was considered by Father Rafferty, is the notion that, as the Cardinal puts it, we would all agree that the good of the child must be our primary concern. And I think that's what Mary Grasso O'Neill tried to say about admission to Catholic schools. And the Cardinal's point that we are not exclusionary means that we do not prevent children from coming to Catholic schools because of their family background, whatever it is. Secondly, your point about practice and admissions, anybody who comes to a Catholic school is told from the beginning that, of course, we will teach Catholic faith and morals in the school, and all children will be in class when that is done. So, as you probably know, in the schools in Dorchester or Lawrence or Lowell, large numbers of those children in those schools are not Catholic, but they and their parents are told from the beginning that they'll be coming to a Catholic school, be permeated by Catholic atmosphere, be permeated by prayer, Catholic teaching, both moral and doctrinal. And so in that sense, this is not a new point.
Father Hare, let me just jump in here for a second, because I'm still not entirely clear on how it was for the good of the child to refuse admission to the school.
I think Father Rafferty has said that his own judgment was that having the child in from his specific background in a Catholic school, he would be hearing about Catholic teaching on questions of marriage and family, and he, I think, as I understood him, thought that would be confusing. But at a deeper level, we need to be sure that it is understood that admission to Catholic schools is not dependent upon the child's family background. There are many complicated family situations in the United States. We're a highly pluralistic society. We want our schools open to all children and their families who wish to send them, and therefore we focus on the good of the child in the sense of accepting children from multiple backgrounds, as long as everyone understands what will happen in the Catholic school, the mm-hmm. Catholic teaching will be taught.
Well, this question about what will happen in the Catholic schools, it's one thing that's, you know, captured a lot of people's minds right now, because Cardinal O'Malley also wrote, he reflected on the policies, say, in the Denver Archdiocese and said that they should be seriously considered. And out in Denver, the Archdiocese says they're seriously questioning admitting the children of gay parents. I believe Archbishop Charles Chaput there says partnering with gay parents is difficult, if not impossible. And back here in Boston, there are those who say that for as long as Cardinal O'Malley does not speak out against Denver or Father Rafferty in Hingham and tell him to reverse his decision, that the Cardinal is essentially still giving tacit approval to some form of discrimination.
I think you need to take the Cardinal's statement at face value. His judgment is the good of the child is primary, and we do not exclude children based on family background. I think the Cardinal's point about Denver is it is always understood that each diocese is under the control and direction of a bishop, and bishops do not move across diocesan policies when they differ from one another. At times, the Catholic Bishops' Conference as a whole takes policy decisions that bind the whole conference, but I think it's understandable that Cardinal O'Malley is not going to be talking about what other bishops do. This is a very complicated case, mm-hmm. and he's talking about what will happen in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are many who have thoughts on this, and I want to get another voice in here. Earlier, I spoke with C.J. Doyle. He's executive director of the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts. He's an outspoken conservative Catholic. And while he agreed that Cardinal O'Malley's stance, as presented in his blog post, was very nuanced, I also asked C.J. Doyle simply if he thought children of gay and lesbian parents should be even allowed into Catholic schools in the first place.
Suppose we admit this child to another parochial school. Now, what happens then? Do we tiptoe around him and not discuss Catholic moral issues for fear of offending him and offending his parents? Or do we present the Catholic moral position undiluted, which could put him in an extremely uncomfortable position? And by the way, if we do mute the Catholic moral message or engage in some self-censorship, then that's depriving other students and other parents of having their children go through an authentically Catholic education. I think it's really very problematic, and I'm open to examining how it can be done. My suspicion is that it may not prove to be practical. As I said, I went to a parochial school. I wouldn't want to deprive anyone of the opportunity to go to a parochial school.
At the same time, as you know, the diocese is currently trying to come up with some kind of policy. What kind of policy would you like to see?
Obviously, anything that affirms Catholic moral teaching unambiguously. Now, how you reconcile that with a child of a lesbian or a homosexual couple, I'm not sure. But we have to maintain the integrity of the Catholic school system, and we have to maintain Catholic moral teaching. And I think it's very, very important, particularly at a time when secular society is in many ways so much opposed to Catholic morality, and where Catholic students in public schools are certainly getting a particular vision of morality which doesn't necessarily conform to Catholic moral teaching. Also, we have to ask ourselves, and one doesn't wish to be uncharitable, but we have to ask ourselves, does this then become a wedge issue? Do we then start accepting teenagers in Catholic high schools that identify themselves as homosexual or lesbian and transgendered? And then do we have speech codes or anti-bullying codes to prevent harassment in that case? And at what point do we end up watering down the moral message of Catholicism? I think this is something that really has to be looked at very carefully.
Well, that's C.J. Doyle. He's executive director of the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts. Mr. Doyle, thank you so much for joining us.
Very happy to be here.
And Reverend Brian Hare, Cabinet Secretary for Health and Human Services of the Boston Archdiocese, what's your quick reaction to C.J. Doyle's take on this?
Well, I think Mr. Doyle looks at the statement of Dr. Mary Grasso O'Neill and the Cardinal, they are crystal clear that we plan to teach Catholic teaching, doctrine, and morals in all Catholic schools, and that there'll be no change in that, and that it is truly, there are a series of complicated questions because we are open to receiving children from many backgrounds in our schools, but Catholic schools across the country manage that problem. That is to say, we teach Catholic doctrine and morals, and that will be taught clearly in Boston. That's the Cardinal's intent. And at the same time, we are open to providing the best education, quality education that we can to any children and families that wish to come to our schools. Mm. Is it complicated? Yes. Is it doable? Yes. Are we doing it already? Yes. And we intend to do it with, as the Cardinal indicated, with the formulation of a policy on this question that will give better guidance to pastors and principals. I think one of the things the Cardinal wanted to do in his statement was to acknowledge that Father Rafferty is one of really an extraordinarily fine pastor and was confronted with a complicated case. And it clearly means that we need a specific policy for the best guidance for pastors and principals, and we'll get to that.
Father Hare, hang on for just a second. I want to very briefly turn to another voice here. She's Lillian Gonzalez. Her oldest child went to St. Mary's School in Brookline. She is a gay parent as well. Lillian Gonzalez, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So how was your experience at St. Mary's in Brookline?
My son was there for little bit over a year, and he actually had a very good experience there, and they were very welcoming. The issue that he had lesbian moms was not an issue at all at the school. I felt that they were very receptive, very open, and we had really no problems with other parents, or my son didn't have any problems with the other students in the school.
And so what do you make of the situation in Hingham, since it sounds like your story was almost the opposite? I mean, you had a great experience.
Well, I think the difference is this. I felt that the head of school, Maureen Jutras, was very, very open to our family and really receptive to hearing what our concerns were. I think that when the discussion came up about Catholic morals, the morals are not just a matter of what your sexuality is. And it seems that the lightning rod becomes, once you say you're gay, that essentially it becomes an issue of sexuality, and that's the only focus that people have. When we're talking about Catholic morals or religious morals, I think that's a much broader terminology. And I think what happens is that at the school in Brookline, clearly they were teaching my child morals that I wanted him to have. Now, the issue of sexuality, I might have a slightly more, what I consider, more broader definition. I feel I'm much more open about that. And there are others who are more open. But even when they were discussing the issue of sexual orientation, I felt that they were very mindful and very respectful so that my son didn't have to feel excluded or to feel that he was, quote-unquote, a bad person.
Well, that's Lillian Gonzalez, obviously a very different experience at St. Mary's Catholic School in Brookline. Lillian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Father Hare, last question to you. We have someone on our website, Victoria, who's asking, you know, will Catholic schools investigate other children's parents to make sure, say, they're not admitting children whose parents are divorced or who have committed adultery, also sins in the mind of the Catholic Church? And, you know, this gets us back to that eternal challenge. How is the Church going to be able to balance this policy of openness and inclusion at the same time while adhering to some teachings in the Church which tell people that their families are living in sinful ways?
Well, two things. If I could say, Ms. Gonzalez very eloquently made the point that Catholic moral teaching includes sexuality, but it goes in a much broader range to a whole range of questions about character, social justice, regard for the poor, and human rights. And that's an extraordinarily important point to mention. Indeed, that's precisely what I meant when I talked about the full range of Catholic faith and morals being taught, the full range of our moral vision, which includes teaching on sexuality, but is not confined to that. Now, secondly, the point about the investigation, I think the caller indicated, the point that the Cardinal and Dr. Grasso O'Neill made is that we accept children from diverse family backgrounds. So while in any case we would want to be concerned about anybody in our parishes or in our schools in terms of trying to instruct what Catholic life means in all its fullness, we do not go around investigating people's family life, whether it's a question of parish life or the life of the school.
Father Hare, let me just ask you, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I really
think
Cardinal O'Malley raised the question in his blog post, which is why I think so many people are reacting to it. And my final question to you is really, how shall it be possible for the Church, for the Boston Archdiocese, to balance being persuasive, as Cardinal O'Malley said, in its moral teachings, and being constantly and unquestioningly open to unconventional families?
I think it is the question, Meghna, that you raised at the beginning.
Yes.
It's practice and theory. And change our theory because the teaching of the church is framed for a very long time around a lot of questions, and we need to hold in an intelligent, persuasive way to that teaching. We need, in practice, to deal with people with charity, with equal concern for the equal dignity of every child in the school, no matter what their family background is. I think we do that all the time, not only in our schools, but we try to do it in our hospitals and social service agencies also, because it is the Catholic style to try to use our institutions to serve the whole society. That is not uncomplicated, but it is doable, and I think you've raised a good question, and I think we have a good answer to it. Well, we are confident we can do that.
Well, that is Father Brian Hare. He's Cabinet Secretary for Health and Human Services at the Archdiocese of Boston. Father Hare, thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, listeners, stay with us, because after the break, more than half of Boston public school freshmen are getting their health and sex education from college students this spring. If you've ever lived next door to a frat house, it's got to give you a little bit of a shiver. But on the other hand, who's a 15-year-old going to listen to about sex, a 20-year-old or a 60-year-old? I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.